Ray Kugel reporting. British exit polls show Conservatives in early lead. Key exit poll showing British Prime Minister David Cameron's Conservatives faring well in Thursday's parliamentary polling, falling just short of an outright majority in the 650-member House of Commons. The survey, released Thursday by national broadcaster shortly after polls closed, showed the Conservatives winning 316 seats to the opposition Labour Party's 239. The Scottish Nationalist Party was set to win 58. Analysts say Mr. Cameron is likely to remain in office if the combined prediction of 326 seats for Conservatives and their allied Liberal Democrats holds. U.S. and Saudi officials have agreed to pursue a humanitarian bombing pause in Yemen, where fighting has forced thousands of people to flee the country. At a news conference in Riyadh Thursday, Secretary of State John Kerry and his Saudi counterpart, Foreign Minister Adel al-Jubeir, said efforts were underway to put together a five-day ceasefire.
We particularly welcome a new Saudi initiative to try to bring about a peaceful resolution through the announcement of their intent to establish a full five-day renewable ceasefire and humanitarian pause.
Secretary Kerry and the Saudi foreign minister say the ceasefire would be renewable. The International Criminal Court in The Hague announced Thursday that former Ivory Coast President Laurent Gbagbo will go on trial November 10th. Mr. Gbagbo and his close aide Charles Goudet are charged with crimes against humanity, including murder and rape, allegedly carried out after a disputed presidential election in 2010. This is VOA News. Al-Qaeda's branch in Yemen says a U.S. airstrike killed one of its top leaders last month. Nasser bin Ali al-Ansi, his eldest son, and several other militants were killed in an airstrike on the Yemeni port city of Mukalla. Ansi had claimed responsibility on behalf of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula for the January terrorist attack on the Charlie Hebdo magazine in Paris, which used cartoons to mock Islam. U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter says the American military is starting to train moderate Syrian rebels to fight against Islamic State militants on the ground in Syria. Secretary Carter says that 90 highly vetted individuals began training at a secure location, which he did not disclose, and that the program will gradually expand. The U.S. Senate approved legislation giving Congress the right to review and possibly reject any eventual international agreement aimed at restraining Iran's nuclear development program. The Senate voted 98-1 for the measure, which now heads to the House of Representatives, where it could be considered next week. A U.S. appeals court ruled that the clandestine National Security Agency's massive domestic data collection program is illegal. VOA's Michael Bowman has details.
A three-judge federal panel in New York wrote that, quote, Congress cannot reasonably be said to have ratified a program of which many members of Congress and all members of the public were not aware. At issue is the NSA's collection of what the spy agency calls metadata, millions of records of phone calls, including the numbers dialed but not the content of the calls. Launched in the aftermath of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks, the surveillance was unknown to almost all Americans until former NSA contractor Edward Snowden leaked sensitive documents before fleeing the country. Michael Bowman, The Capitol.
More violence rocked the streets of Burundi's capital Thursday, Burundi seeing almost daily violent protests since President Pierre Nkurunziza announced last month that he will run for a third term, something his opponents say is unconstitutional. Witnesses in Burundi's Red Cross say three people were killed in clashes around Bujumbura on Thursday. A series of tornadoes struck the midwestern U.S. states of Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, and Nebraska, injuring several people and leaving a path of destruction in its wake. More than 40 tornadoes touched down across the region Wednesday, damaging about three dozen homes, businesses, and farmland. The damage mainly occurred in Oklahoma, especially in the outskirts of the capital, Oklahoma City. At least 12 people were injured, while thousands of homes and businesses are still without power. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.